As we go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 20 this morning, we're going to read this, and as soon as we're done reading this, there's three things that I'm going to look at this morning. The first point is going to be persecution that's going to come upon Jeremiah at this point in time. The second point, we're going to look at the future of the southern kingdom, of what's going to take place for them, and we kind of already been discussing those things. And last of all, I see something that is very important in this scripture with Jeremiah specifically, and that he is battling discouragement at this point in time for what he's just faced. So let's have the reading here, and when we're done, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. It says, "Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magar-Misabibi. I said that right because I had a pronunciator do that for me. And give you a quick meaning of that word real quickly is terror on every side. That's what that word means. Verse number 4 says, For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eye shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with a sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the king of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thy house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou shalt die, shall be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defamation of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail, and shall be greatly ashamed. For they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous, and seest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, A man-child is born of thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontime, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave. And a room to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame." What a way to end this chapter for Jeremiah at this point in time. Let's have a word of prayer. As I pray outwardly, I ask that you would pray inwardly, that God would speak to your hearts, that God would remove the distractions that might take place in this building this morning, and just ask God to really just search me, O Lord, because that's what we need every day of our lives. Search me, O Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word that you have given us, how you preserved it for us for these many years, how you've used great men to write these very words that you wanted us to read this morning. Lord, I pray today that you would prick our hearts. Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here, even though I might not be dealing with salvation, but Lord, I pray that you would begin to convict hearts that are here this morning. I do not know the individual, or may be individuals, but Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work here this morning. Lord, I pray that the lost would not walk out of here still lost. I pray they walked out of here saved and have a hope in you. Lord, I pray for the ones that might even be backslidden at this point in time. Again, I don't know who they are, but Lord, you do. You know the hearts. You know the thought of every man. And Lord, I pray today that the Holy Spirit would do the convicting that he needs to do. Lord, bless in this time. Use me once again. I pray that you would bestow your guidance upon me as we go through your word. Bestow your wisdom and your knowledge, Lord, as you know I need it. And Lord, I pray for these things, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Well, as we've gone through here, the chapter number 20, we are almost to the halfway point of the book of Jeremiah. And we're not quite done yet, but we will be someday, unless the Lord comes back and the rapture happens, and you guys will say, amen, we didn't get to finish Jeremiah. But anyway, we're still here. I had some time off from this, and Pastor dealt with some other things the last couple of weeks, and I hope that was a tremendous blessing to your heart. It was to mine. But now we're back in the book of Jeremiah, and just to kind of give us a brief summary where we're at right now, what's brought us up to this point is that Jeremiah, in the last couple of chapters, was talking about the potter and the clay, and it was a reference to God, and we are vessels, and God designs each and every single vessel the way he wants it, and we end up breaking that image from time to time, that mold, but good thing about that is, and it was said to me, God never throws away those broken pieces. He grabs all those broken pieces, those dust particles, and he brings them back into that that wheel that he's he's designing us, and he's continually making us a progress in his image. And I tell you what, that is very encouraging for me to hear, because I know me. I know how I've messed up. I know how I've fallen away. But I know that the Lord is right there to pick me up and to continue to mold me. Well, now we're at this chapter, right, number 20 here. Now we see that persecution has come upon Jeremiah in these first four verses. Jeremiah is yet to face persecution. Matter of fact, just to go back from chapter number 1, verse number 9, God ordained him to be a prophet to go to the southern kingdom to be able to preach that judgment was going to come upon them. And so for quite some time now, Jeremiah has been facing these people, he's been facing this nation, and he's been preaching that destruction will come their way. And we realize the destruction is coming their way is because they have forsook their God, their Jehovah, and they served other gods. One of the main gods that they were serving at this point in time was Baal. Baal was a false god that they had allowed to come in their life, a false god who could not offer them hope. Matter of fact, it was false hope for them. A God that could not offer them salvation, a God that could not offer them forgiveness, and that's the direction that they went. And they stayed there. It's kind of like the old saying, you put a frog in warm water, and you keep that water warm, and you turn that fire on, and all of a sudden what happens? The frog's cooked because he didn't realize what was taking place. And that's what's happening here with these people, Jerusalem and Judah at this point in time. And so they have been living this lifestyle that hasn't been pleasing to God. Jeremiah has been constant. He's been steadfast in giving this message out to them. And now we have seen that one of his dear friends, a king Josiah, that he had at that point in time is no longer on the scene. And so he has no more friends, you can say, that are higher ups. And now the higher ups, they're out for him. And now he's come upon a man in the name of Pashur. And he immediately sees Jeremiah and hears about him prophesying these things. And then verse number 2, it says, then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet. I look at the word smote. It's not a very good word when you begin to think about it. What Pashur did, he took his hand, or maybe he even had a whip that was around him or beside him, or maybe a particular weapon at that point in time. And whatever he had, he took that, whether it be the hand or some other foreign object, he took that and he struck Jeremiah with that thing. And so automatically Pashur is not happy with the announcements, the prophesying that Jeremiah has been doing, and so he smotes him, he strikes him, and then he follows up with this. It says, and put him in the stocks. Now we might sit there and think, what are stocks? Well, stocks is another form of punishment that they were put in at that particular time. They were imprisoned at that time. They were put in stocks. And stocks is one of those things that the best way that I can describe it, I'm getting out here so everybody can see me, is basically a wooden box that has a frame around it, and in that wooden box you have a frame on the bottom that's cut out for your hands. And then you have the top frame that's cut out for your hands and head, and that raises up. And so what happens is, as Jeremiah is approached by Pashur grabs Jeremiah after smoting him, and he takes him up, and he places him in these stocks. And so as his hands are put down and his head's put down in there, that top part of the board comes down, and he's no longer able to move. He's in a place of confinement. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather have gone to prison walls, to be honest with you. I have had the privilege on a few occasions to go and deal with a man in prison the last couple of years who was on trial for murder. He's now in prison for life. But I was actually in those cells with him, visiting with him on a weekly basis, giving him God's word. But the amazing thing for me was, is I was able to walk out of there. I was able to walk out of there as a free man. He was still in there because he was a man that's been convicted and is going to spend the rest of his life there. But in those situations, an 8x10 room, you still have the ability to move around and to get up and to walk and do things, get to the blood flowing through your body. I don't know about you, my body's changing. I've noticed that if I sit for a long period of time, my legs go numb. Has anybody ever experienced those things? You don't know because you can't feel your legs. But my legs begin to go numb. And so what I have to do is get out, get up, and begin to walk around so that I can get blood flowing through my legs. Because if I don't, they call it throbbing legs. It's not a fun process. And so I get up on occasions to move around to get those blood, that blood flowing through my legs and through my body, and I end up feeling much better. But here he's confined in these stocks. He's not able to move. And as he's confined in these stocks, there's another form of restraint that they will put on these folks at times. And I don't know if it happened to him at this point in time, but they would put chains about his feet. This guy was in a position where he's not able to move. Now, with that being said, stocks were done in a form of a public display. So he grabbed Jeremiah, he put him in these stocks, and he's really on public display for the people to see what the king is doing to him. And so he's up there, he's being persecuted at this point in time. And he's never gone through this process in his life because he's always been going about doing God's business, and he hasn't suffered these things yet. So this is all new to him. There are three types of persecutions that I believe that we as believers will face in our lifetime. You might not agree with one of them, but I see this that can happen very easily. One of them is financial persecution. Do you know the government can come after your money, take everything that you have? Because if you stand up for the Lord, they might sit there and say, you know, I don't really like the message that you have. I don't really like what you're doing. So I'm going to persecute you, and I'm going to take away all your financial wealth. Fine by me. Take whatever you want, because I'm not taking it with me when I go to heaven anyway. It's yours. Take it. But we'll face financial persecution, and there's folks who face those things. And so that's one of them. The other thing that will come upon believers that are vocal, that want to stand out and want to be a voice for God and not go in the closet, but they want to come out of the closet, is the fact they might face imprisonment. They might go to jail for their belief. I have known a few guys in my lifetime. I can remember as a young person, a pastor in the state of Nebraska went to jail for his beliefs. And he stayed true to his course, and he faced imprisonment at that time. And there are missionaries, there are evangelists, there are preachers that are in our world today, and there might even be believers that are standing up for God, and the government, for one reason or another, is not liking the message that's coming out of their mouth. And so what do? Okay, I'm going to quiet this individual. So I'm going to put them in prison. And this is no different than what Pashur was doing to Jeremiah at this time. He's thinking, okay, I got this guy. I smote him. I broke him down. I humiliated him. I'm going to go even further with him so he'll never proclaim the gospel again, and I'm going to put him in stocks. Well, this is what can take place in our life as well. We stand up for God, and man doesn't like it. Well, they can come after us. That's fine. Take me. You want to take me to jail? That's fine. That's not going to be my permanent home. It's going to be a temporary home because the Lord's coming back for me someday. Amen? And that's one thing that I look forward to. The other thing is something that we might think is we don't want to have on our radar. We might sit there and say, okay, I'm fine with the persecution of them suffocating me financially, and I might be fine with them suffocating me from society and putting me in prison, but the third one, I might not be too thrilled about this. The third persecution has taken place, and it's taken place in our world today more than we realize, more than we know, and that is death. There are literally missionaries who are dying for their faith for Jesus Christ. YouTube has done a lot of different things in our society where they post these things, and you can see these things, and I don't encourage anybody to do this, but I've literally seen, because I've been wanting to know, does persecution really exist where people die? And it does. Let me ask you a question. If the government came to you today and they say, I don't like what you're saying. I don't like that you're proclaiming God. I don't like how you're saying we can have victory in God and not man. You're going to die. What's going to happen to a lot of us? Are we going to say, well, this isn't really worth it to me. I understand what you're saying. I value my life. And so therefore, I want to escape death. And you're going to say, okay, Mr. Government, Mr. Leader, Mr. King, I submit to you. And we walk away. You know, my fear is, what's going to happen if the government says someday you're no longer able to attend church, you're no longer able to preach the gospel message, and if you do so, you're going to face three things: financial death, or you're going to face societal death where you're in prison, or you're going to face the physical death. And a lot of us might run and hide because we might not want to face those things. But I will say this, a believer will face persecution in his life. There are other forms of persecution that can take place. There's mental persecution, there's verbal persecution, but these are the three that I believe will be very instrumental in the life of believers. But even despite what was taking place in the life of Jeremiah, again, he's yet to be persecuted. He's remained steadfast with God. He's still proclaiming the message, and now he's here. He's here because he's standing up for what is right. And he's here because he wasn't in good standing with Pashur. So Pashur took action in his own hands. But what I see takes place is unique to me because, again, man might flee. But we see Jeremiah still standing up for what God has called him to do. He didn't tuck tail and run away from his responsibilities. What do we see today in our society? We see man running away from their responsibilities that they have been placed upon them. It happens, not only does it happen in a home where for some odd reason a husband and wife, a husband and wife get married, but for an odd reason they get divorced. Well, what happens? Well, the man or the woman doesn't want to take responsibility, so what happens? They flee. Times get tough. They sit there and say, man, I don't want to put up with this. It isn't worth it. And so I'm going to walk away. I believe, I'm going to say this, God is in the business of restoring marriages. He's in the business of restoring marriages. So we see man fleeing responsibilities when it comes to the family. We see man fleeing responsibility when it comes to the workforce. I'm having a hard time, to be honest with you. I work with a bunch of grown, older men than me. And I'm seeing a younger generation come in who has no work ethic, and so they put all the responsibility on the elder folks. And I figured out what's happening. They know how to do this, but they don't know how to hammer or do a drill or put files in a cabinet. They don't know how to do those things. And so what do? They shirk off their responsibilities to somebody else. Jeremiah didn't shirk off his responsibility to somebody else because he was the only one that was responsible for this at this point in time. So he had courage to stand up and to keep doing this, even though this whole country was against him, even though the odds that he faced were not going in his favor. But yet, he remained. He remained there. The world can take away the wealth. The world can put us in prison. And yes, the world can even kill us. But we have a God who is far greater than man, And in the end, regardless of what we go through, we stand victorious with God. I don't know if that encourages you, but that encourages me. Man, if I face financial woes, and if I face imprisonment, if I face death, no matter what, how I go through it or the process of it, I'm still standing with God victorious. And that's an encouragement to me because I serve a God who loves us, who doesn't forsake us, who protects us, and in the end, we're victorious with him. And that's encouraging to me. The other thing that I see here is Jeremiah wasn't trying to be a popular man. And I say that for a reason, because I do a lot of study on other churches, and what I'm seeing in our society today is pastors trying to be popular with their people. And so because they're trying to be popular with their people so that they can fit in and be normal with them, what they have done, they've watered down the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I have to say this to you. No matter where I go, no matter what pulpit I stand behind, I'm not going to preach to be popular. I'm going to preach the gospel that Jesus has called me to preach. And if man doesn't like it, so be it. But that's what God has called me to do. And that's what I'm going to do until my dying days. There are going to be subjects that are going to be dealt with that's not going to be popular with man. They're not going to like the idea. They're not going to like the thought process. But if God has called a man to preach a message and to be constant with that message, then so be it. I'm not about being popular. Instead of Jeremiah being popular, he was focused on the mission that God had called him to do. So often we have been called to a mission, but what happens? We lose our focus. We lose the vision where we're at. We become distracted by the things that we have been surrounded with. But Jeremiah, he's still focused. He's still on his mission, and he's being constant. He's saying, man, you know what? I can care less about being popular. I can care less about being accepted. I'm going to preach the message that God has given me. I'm going to go forth in this world no matter what man throws at me. And that's a man that I would follow. Amen? And so Jeremiah is a man on a mission still seeking to tell these people, hey, God is going to judge you. So now we go on to the second point here is the future of the southern kingdom. It says here in verse number 4, it says, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies. And thine eye shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. So again, Jeremiah is reminding them of their future. Their future for the southern kingdom at this point in time is going to be in captivity. They're going to be held captive by their enemies. I've never been held captive by an enemy, but I can only imagine if I was in the presence of my enemy and he held me captive, I can only imagine what they're going to do to me. They're going to torture me beyond belief. They're going to do things to me that's going to cause me to be miserable, not to be happy, not to be enjoying life. They're going to put harm on me in every way, shape, and form. And that's what's going to take place here. It says Jeremiah, so he tells Pashur's name, given by God, and I told that to you, is Magor Misabibi, meaning terror on every side. Say that with me, Magor Misabibi. That's a fun name. Put your BB on. I had fun with that one. But now Jeremiah has for some time now has been warning the southern kingdom of their destination, and that's in the captivity. And they don't want to be reminded of their destination. Some folks don't want to be reminded what God has called them to do. Some folks have been called into the ministry. Some folks have been called into evangelists or the mission work, and they have ignored that call. But they need to be reminded on occasions, hey, God called you into this. You need to do this. But they're still going about, regardless of the warning that has come from Jeremiah, he's still teaching a message here, but they're still ignoring, they're still rejecting, they're still walking away. And because of this, they're going to go into captivity with their enemy. So, to make this, to sum this up, at this point, what is taking place in their lives is they are drowning in sin. They're drowning in sin. Has anybody ever been swimming and have drowned in some way, shape, or form? Some of you might not know the story. My family probably don't even know the story. My wife does. My sister, Christy, used to live in apartments years ago when she got married. And in this apartment complex, there's a swimming pool. And I remember this very well. Wayne and I were there. We're swimming that afternoon. And I love swimming. It's fun for me. I enjoy it. Pastor, he loves to swim. He's like a fish. I can remember going out in the lake sometimes on vacation. He'd be out so far out, and he can hold his breath underneath the water for so long, he'd come up and pinch us. And you remember how you tortured us in those things? If you don't, I'm reminding you right now. But I remember those things. But here on this particular afternoon, Wayne could not swim very well. And so Wayne was out in the deep end. And I be honest with you, I couldn't swim all at the time either. 230 pounds don't stay up on top that easily. There's a lot of work involved. And I'm not a buoy. I just don't sit there and float. I sink. And so we're out there, and we're having a good time. And Wayne gets away from the edge a little bit. And even though we're in our six-foot body frames, 3 feet can still put a lot of harm to us. And so I remember Wayne going out into the deep end, 9 feet. He really went out in the deep end. He treachered out. And so he goes out there. And Wayne, he panicked. And so what happened when Wayne began to panic, he went down. And so my instincts kicked in right away. And so I went out there, and I tried to help Wayne. I'm not a lifeguard. I don't know how to do these things. I've seen it on TV. You swim out there, grab him by the neck, and you go in. It's not that easy. I go out there, and the first thing that happens to me, I get Wayne, and what's he do? He grabs me, pushes me down, and he swims to the side. He used me as an anchor. And here I am, taken into water. It's like, oh, man, are you serious? But I took on the form of drowning that day. But here's what was taking place with Judah and Jerusalem at this time. They were drowning in their sin. And when you're drowning in your sin, they can't even see God. That's how far away they were from God. They cannot see God. Sin removes us from God. Even so much so, when his son took the sins of the world upon him, what took place? God the Father turned his back on his own living son because of our sins, saying he can't have fellowship with sin. And so for a brief moment in history, God couldn't even fellowship with his own son because of sin. That's how much God hates sin. It's amazing when you look at this picture, but they can't even see God. Sin removes us from God. Even when we're hearing of their demise, these folks here, they've heard of their demise, they've heard it preached time and time again, they continue to live unrighteously. I will say this about sin. Sin only lasts for a season, but God will always be victorious. You know, I don't know the season in your life when it comes to sin. I don't even know the season of my life. It could be a month, it could be a week, it could be a year. I have no idea. But when you're a child of God, God will get a hold of you. It only lasts for a season. You can only put up with it for so long. No different than a parent putting up with a rebellious, disrespectful child. A parent can only put up with it for so long. And after a while, when that parent finally gets put up with it, he finally grabs that child and says, come on, wake up. Let's get moving. Let's get back on track. They do that for our correction because they love us. Now in verses 9 through verse number 18, we see an event take place after Jeremiah suffers persecution, even after he reminds them of their future. Verse number 9, let's read this. It says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my mouth, was in my heart, as a burning fire shut up my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. We see here, and I'm not going to read the rest of the verses due to the sake of time, but we see here Jeremiah is now facing discouragement in his life. Jeremiah has now hit a low point that he's yet to see in his life. And this is where he's at. He has now been personally persecuted. And because he's been personally persecuted, he's been personally attacked. He's been put out in front of all the townspeople and the stocks. He's been struck by Pashur, the king at this point in time. And now it seems as if Jeremiah wants to quit. He wants to check out and walk away from these things. You know, that's what happens when we face discouragement. And you can use another term for discouragement. You can use hurt feelings. We all get discouraged, don't we? We all get hurt feelings. And even great men of God will face a breaking point in their life. but this is where their true character will be defined. Despite the persecution that comes their way and the discouragement and the hurt feelings that come their way, this will define who they truly are. What I see here in Scripture is Jeremiah is showing us that he is no different than you and I. He struggles with the exact same emotions and feelings that we struggle with on a daily basis. He is saying, I've been persecuted, and now I'm discouraged, and now my feelings are hurt, and now I'm being attacked, and I want to walk away, and I want to quit. But it shouldn't be within our nature to quit. But that's what happens. We all get discouraged in life, and our feelings get hurt. But let me warn you. Write this down. Let this be a warning to you. This is exactly what Satan wants in your life. Satan uses this trick to get you away from God. Oh, I've been hurt by the church people. I've been discouraged. They bring me down. And so because they bring me down and my feelings are hurt, I'm going to walk away. Folks, that just happens. Your feelings get hurt. You get discouraged. But your true character will keep you in the game. But Satan wants to use these attacks on you to draw you away from him. And unfortunately, even in our Christian world, we're seeing discouraged people. We're seeing people who have been hurt by members of the church. We're seeing people that have been hurt by the pastor of the church. And so they get discouraged, they get hurt, and what do? Maybe I just better pull back. Maybe I just better walk away. Let me say this. Satan is loving that thought process in your mind. And that's exactly where he wants you to be. He's like, yes, I got this believer exactly where I want him. He's facing discouragement. His feelings are hurt, and he doesn't want to go back, and he's going to quit church. He's going to quit everything that he's been taught. He's going to quit praying. He's going to quit reading the Bible. And Satan's going to say, hey, I got victory in this life. But Satan's using this trick to draw us away. And Jeremiah here is feeling discouragement. His feelings are hurt. We get discouraged at our jobs, do we not? I've been discouraged a lot at my job lately. But you know what I say? I can't quit. Oh, yeah, you can quit, Chad. No, I really can't because I'm invested. But there's other jobs out there. No, I'm invested here. I have a ministry here. I don't want to walk away from the people that I've been talking to Christ about for 16 years of my life. Folks, I have seen something take place in my job in the last 2 years that I'm just sitting back just in amazement. There is one guy now, and it's not due to me, it's due to God. God's just used me. Now there's one guy every single day when he gets out of his car, here's what he does. His Bible comes with him. Every single day his Bible is in his hand. He walks into the workforce with his Bible just like this. And I can go into the break room on his time that he's got away from the job and he's reading it. See, I can't quit. Yeah, I might get discouraged. My feelings might get hurt. But I have an investment there now. No different than church. I can't quit church. I have an investment in you folks. I don't want to walk away. Just like Pastor last year. He's laying in a hospital. He's basically dying. He's like, I don't want to quit. I don't want to go. I got so much more to do. I've got so much invested in these folks, God. I can just imagine his thoughts and his prayers at that time that he's kept to himself. So we get discouraged at our jobs. We work hard for a promotion, and as we're working hard for that promotion, what happens? Somebody else gets it. We get overlooked. What do? We still stay there, do we not? We get discouraged in our families. How do we get discouraged in our families? Well, this happens in a couple of areas. We might feel less loved by somebody else. We might not feel loved by a particular aunt or uncle or brother or sister, or we might feel that a child's more favored than the other child. And I've come to find out a parent doesn't love their children any more than the other. There's just a different love. This is what I come to find out. I love all my nephews and nieces equally. But there's a different love there. It's different. Does that make sense? So we might feel less loved. Or we might feel rejected because we are different than the rest of them. And we get discouraged and we get our feelings hurt. We don't walk away from our families, do we? Oh, at times we do. There's times that if we have said, you know what? I care less about my family. I don't really like them anyway. I'm better off without them. Who's ever had that attitude? I have. I'm the only guilty one in here. I've had that attitude. We get discouraged in church. We might not live up to the standards of others. And so we face these hurt feelings and we want to quit. We want to walk away. Newsflash. I was in a different church last week and my feelings got hurt. You know what an individual said to me? Friday night was good. Sunday was good. Saturday night did nothing to me. And I was like, That discouraged me. But I still gave the message. I'm just glad they told me after the fact. But we get discouraged. We might not live up to the standards. Satan wants you to be in a place where your feelings are hurt, where you're discouraged for this very reason. He wants you to quit on others, and more importantly than that, he wants you to quit on God. Jeremiah is facing this problem in his life. You and I, we've been hurt many times. And I've focused on many different times of my own hurt feelings. But let me tell you what the source, the main problem of that situation. I was more focused on me. Oh, what they said really discouraged me. Oh, what they said, it really hurt my feelings. And what is the problem? It's me. My focus shouldn't be on me. My focus should be upon God. And if my focus is upon God, when that discouragement tries to come my way and when people try to hurt my feelings, I'm going to be able to overcome that obstacle in my life. Satan wants you to quit. He wants you to check out on God. Here's what happens. We as Christians, we don't realize what we're doing, but we're singing the blues everywhere we go. We sing it on a daily basis. My life is a wreck. My dog and cat hate me. My wife doesn't cook me food. But I go down to Hardee's and have some grub. We sing the blues. I know that's silly, but I was just checking to see if you're awake. We have no reason to sing the blues because we have Christ on our side. We have no reason to battle discouragement. We have no reason to allow our feelings to get hurt because we have Christ on our side. And when that comes in our life, all we have to say, God, I'm facing discouragement today. My feelings have been hurt. Take that pain away from me and carry that for me. This is my burden. Here it is, Lord. We walk up. We're victorious because we give it to God. But what happens? We get down there, we say that prayer. For a brief second, we give it to God. And as soon as we take 3 or 4 steps past these chairs, someone discourages us and we take it all back again. Leave it with God. Yeah, we're going to face these things in our life. But God's with us. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your word. Lord, I want to thank you for your promises that you hold true in your word. And Lord, the one promise that always rings out in my mind is you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you've always told us to cast our burdens upon you because you can carry it. Lord, there's probably folks that are facing discouragement. Lord, there's probably folks that are facing hurt feelings. And Lord, the reason they're facing is because they've yet to give it to you. Lord, I pray that you would allow them to have victory over this. And through your son's name we ask it. Amen.